Welcome to Talking Cybersecurity, a weekly podcast listened to in over 50 countries. My name is Richard Herron and I am your presenter. In the Talking Cybersecurity podcast, expect to hear all things related to the cybersecurity industry, whether that's getting your first job, interviews, board reports, data breaches, different approaches to cybersecurity, or conferences. None of the opinions expressed on this podcast by myself or guests are necessarily reflective of the opinions of the organisations we represent. If you want to continue the conversation, feel free to join the LinkedIn group, Talking Cybersecurity. I use Pixabay for most of the music heard on this podcast. Ni hao. Hi everyone and welcome to episode 66 of Talking Cybersecurity. Today we'll be talking with Ollie Stimpson from CyberArk. We'll be talking about the rather oddly named concept of credential stuffing. Talking about stuffing, I don't have a lot of time to stuff around at the moment, so we should just get straight into the episode. This will be part one of a three-part episode. Now, CISO Melbourne 2024 is coming up July 16, 17, I think it is. If you've never been to four and you're in Melbourne, please go. And as other CISO events in 2024 appear in other cities such as Sydney and Perth, please go to them. If you are in any of the states that run a CISO 2024 event this year, they're really good to go to, and there's some really good speakers. I'm having a quick look at the Melbourne list, and you've got speakers such as, who have we got here? We've got Sarah Abak from IntelliHub, good speaker, very astute CISO. You've got Nigel Hedges, Nitin Singh, Andrew Morgan. You've got Vijay Narayan. I'll just call her Louisa V because I can never pronounce her last name, but she's the head of cybersecurity at Dayforce, and I saw her do a really good presentation at ASA last year. Charles Gilman, of course, he's at CISO Melbourne for the last 2 years from memory. He's a great presenter as well. So there's so many speakers there that are talking on those 2 days. I don't have time to go through them all, but it looks like it's a great lineup. So again, if you've got some money in your budget, go to CISO Melbourne 2024, run by Carinium. All right, let's get into the episode. Hope you enjoy it. And today we're speaking with Ollie Stimpson from CyberArk about credential stuffing. So a warm welcome to you, Ollie, and welcome to Talking Cybersecurity.
Great to be here, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show.
Today we will be discussing the topic of credential stuffing with you. But before we get right into it, Ollie, can you please tell us a bit about yourself, your background, so like what types of jobs you've had in the past, industries you've worked in, and where you are now and what you do there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been at CyberArk now for a number of years. I actually started in 2015, as you can probably hear, that was in the UK. I'm working in our London office. So I've been at CyberArk in total 7 years, but for those doing the maths at home, that means I've had a brief 2 year break where I worked within the identity space, but rejoined CyberArk and I moved to Australia a couple of years ago at the start of 2022 when we'd all roughly escaped COVID. What do I do day to day? Well, it's a good question. I actually am working in a new function within CyberArk this year called Security Strategy and Advisory, where I work with some of our strategic customers and partners to understand really where they're going, the threats they're facing, try and explain a little bit more about what we're doing in response, right? Where we're going, what our vision is, and how we plan on helping them secure identities now and in the years ahead.
All right, so now we know a little bit more about you. We know your background and what you do. Before we start, is there anything else you want to tell us about yourself? So it could be, I don't know, you're an avid skateboarder, you've conquered Mount Everest, you do jiu-jitsu, or there's something interesting about yourself or something you're very proud of.
Well, let's think about something that I'm proud of there. So proud owner, parent, keeper of a small child. We have an 11 and a month half baby at home, Henry. So luckily this is audio only, but if it was video, you'd see the slight bags under my eyes. So all those fun things like jiu-jitsu, climbing Everest, I've had to park for a little while now, but one day we'll get back to them. Something else, yeah, those 2 years away, I actually lived in Denmark. Something I'll refer to later in the podcast, actually thinking about the topic of digital identity. So get that bit in early. It was a really interesting couple of years there.
I'll be waiting to hear that one. So I think we now have a slightly more rounder picture of yourself. Let's get stuck into today's topic, which is the oddly sounding credential stuffing. So can you please start us off with explaining what credential stuffing is and how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good question because it's a strange name. I think we're good at that in industry, right? Coming up with interesting names for different things. So what is credential stuffing and how does it differ from other things credential or password related? Well, credential stuffing is a fairly simple idea. Things with password security often are. We know that it's the basics that trip people up with passwords. And credential stuffing is the idea that a threat actor, a criminal group will use a credential that was stolen or compromised through a previous cyber attack and stuff it in other places. So you know, take your personal password that you use for, say, your Gmail account and use it across different other web services that maybe you have access to as well. And if, like lots of people or lots of enterprises, you happen to have recycling of passwords, you use that same password in multiple places, well, the door opens, right? Because that password will unlock multiple doors. It's like having the same key. Now, how does this differ? Because there's lots of ways that passwords can be used. There's brute force attacks where passwords are systematically cracked. So, hey, I'm going to try something. I'm going to try and put in passwords systematically, often through some kind of machine that does this in a way that won't trigger any alerts by slowly trying different passwords at regular intervals or irregular intervals to be a bit more advanced. There's other attack methods as well involving credentials, like password spraying as well. And we've seen actually that in the news quite recently, where a web interface, an opportunity for someone to put a password in is presented, and common off-the-shelf passwords are picked and sprayed across different devices. What comes to mind here is, and what keeps all these things together, is the fact that this is all just the threat actor trying their luck. It's something they have or something they think that you might have done, and they'll basically just try their luck and see what happens. And credential stuffing is something that's come to the fore quite recently in Australia with attacks against consumers, specifically with sharing of credentials across different platforms.
It sounds like with credential stuffing, the cyber criminal almost has like the upper hand. They're using past knowledge, perhaps past dumps of usernames and passwords. They're using that, whereas something like phishing, it's almost brand new. I know nothing about the Acme company, but I'll send a phishing email and see where it gets me. Whereas this credential stuffing, they seem to have the upper hand. Would you say that almost?
Maybe that's right. I think there's an old analogy that I've heard many times in industry over the years, which is the threat actor, the bad actor, only needs to be right once. And this is the challenge of the defender. You need to get it right every time. I used to play football, right? I used to be in goal. And, you know, if I made a mistake when I was in goal, it led to a goal. And that's not true for other players outfield. If you're under attack, you have to get it right every time. So luck is on the side of the attacker because they're the ones who get it right. Now, that's different to phishing, because phishing and specifically spear phishing, we're seeing that threat actors are able to really target their efforts around specific individuals. They do extensive reconnaissance and research of those individuals so that if someone comes to me, if I'm the CISO or the CIO of an organization, maybe they know where my kids go to school, and maybe they can see pretty clearly where I went to university, perhaps where I went to school, other details about my life, so that when that email appears, it's that bit more credible. But the key thing is it's targeted to me, whereas you're absolutely right to juxtapose that with something like credential stuffing, which is more that spray and pray approach of we'll try a broad-based attack. It's not targeted against the specific individual. That's really different to how phishing and spear phishing is happening against both individuals and large corporate entities and government organizations.
Two quick points that I'll make before I get onto the next question. And you may very well be going to be talking about this, but if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's fine by me. But it's two things. It's amazing how much information people, including CEOs, CIOs, CFOs, put up on Facebook about their family. Oh, I'm just going to the Maldives next week on this cruise. Then suddenly you start seeing all these emails coming through from the CFO to the accounts payable person saying, please put $30,000 in my bank account. So it's interesting. And the other thing is, which would link to credential stuffing, which is when corporate people use their corporate account to log into LinkedIn. And I keep on telling them, LinkedIn gets hacked probably once a year. So they've got your username, which has got your corporate domain name on it, and they now know your password. I'm guessing that password is pretty similar to the one you use to log in at work. So a couple of things you might want to talk about later, or you might want to talk about it now, or do you want the next question?
Oh, well, thank you for the offer there. Let's touch on that first point, because it is key. It's well documented that we're sharing more than ever before about ourselves. And, you know, that's not always people we know and trust that make use of that information. And much has been made of the threat of artificial intelligence. And perhaps there's an image that appears in a lot of people's heads around artificial intelligence being used to break encryption. You know, the rise of quantum computing is another technology trend. Or perhaps it's been used to create polymorphic malware. That's something CyberArk's researched. But what if it's just someone's going to use AI to build a really effective profile of Ollie Simpson and use that to craft a very effective email to phish me and gain my credential? So we often say, right, you need to get the basics right. Cyber hygiene is what stops so many attacks. We always have a tendency to think about what's new and best and, you know, what's cutting edge, but it's the basics. And credential stuffing is that example of what happens when the basics are missed. If you're recycling the same password across different accounts, if it's being shared, if you're not rotating it, either for your own personal accounts or in a corporate setting, and it's the work that CyberArk's done for many years, it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge, and unfortunately, it's those basics, that cyber hygiene that threat actors have been able to profit from and continue to do so.
And I guess the catch-all is perhaps, in that regard, a password management system, but I suspect that's a subject for another episode of Talking Cybersecurity. Here is a question for you, and it might sound pretty simple, and it might have a simple answer, but then again, it might have a complex answer. And that's, what are the potential consequences of a successful credential stuffing attack for individuals and organizations?
Yeah, well, hey, what's the disaster scenario? And, you know, we don't want to dwell on that, but let's be realistic about what happens when identities are compromised in 2024. And I think you're right to separate that from both the individual and the organizational side. So on the individual side, there's been some well-documented examples in Australia this year about individuals suffering credential stuffing attacks where retail sites that they used were effectively compromised, their account was breached, and due to credit card information being saved in that account, criminal enterprises were able to make purchases against that customer's credit card, gain physical items, profit from those. And hey, while the users may end up being credited for that, they may be refunded, and these stories receive wide publicity, there's of course a huge amount of emotional stress associated with that. And that's just something, a relatively simple attack for financial gain. But you know, we see that identity is the front door, is the lock for our digital life. So, you know, let's say that someone is able to compromise something like a MyGov account using a stolen or compromised credential, or using an attack like password spraying or credential stuffing. That's really getting very deep and personal into a user's existence. And our digital lives are very complex now. So the individual can really suffer as a result of these attacks. And it's important that we all recognize that in the corporate space, that we have a role to help reduce that risk. Organizationally, it's very different, because instead of compromising an individual, well, we could be looking at a compromise of a whole enterprise. There's already this year been a number of very damaging cyber attacks across Australia and around the wider world as well. And we see the role of credentials and identities within that. So full network compromise, full compromise of cloud environments, significant business outages have resulted. And identity is the fast route into organizations. 80% of advanced cyber attacks use an identity. And with things like a shift into the cloud, with things like developers taking a real forefront in how organizations develop, remain competitive, make a profit, it's only becoming easier for a threat actor to compromise a credential and have a really large and devastating impact on the operations of an enterprise or a government department.
It's interesting you use that example of a sales site, because what is the most infuriating and frustrating thing for me, and this links into what I was talking about with people using their corporate accounts on LinkedIn, is when I see people using their corporate accounts to log into sales sites, because it's a bit like a Venn diagram. You're merging the individual and the organizational risk together, and that little bit in the middle where they intersect is my headache. So again, when people use their corporate credentials to log into something personal like a sales site, infuriates me. But again, that could be another topic for another episode.
Absolutely. Or two. We could talk for hours on that one.
We could indeed. You have sort of mentioned a real-world example. Can you walk us through a real-world example of a recent high-profile credential stuffing incident?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive into that example I mentioned here in Australia. So a number of retail sites suffered this type of attack with credential stuffing earlier this year. It's very well publicized. I'm not going to name names, but if someone was to Google Australia retail attack credential stuffing, I think they would find the answers pretty quickly. Other search platforms are available, so please go and have a look. But you know, what happened in those instances was your textbook credential stuff. And what was interesting as well in these examples was that the targeted sites were not only vulnerable to credential stuffing. There's a couple of reasons for that. Well, hey, there's an error or a challenge on the user side, let's say, where they have reused credentials, but also these sites didn't necessarily often enforce multi-factor authentication. So a password, it really is a very weak form of authentication in this day and age. And if that's your only protection at the front door, if there's no even basic MFA, like a one-time code being sent to over SMS, it's all too easy for that initial step to be bypassed. So in that example, that this didn't exist, but also the fact that once someone was inside that account, the credit card data was ready and available to be used. And there was no need to re-enter the CVV, the 3 or 4 digit code that we all have on our cards, that is that extra step to prove that you have that card in your hand, or at least know that code. So you can see here that a couple of mistakes were made, a couple of challenges existed. We always talk about all the A's of identity. We talk about things like authentication, authorization, audit. All these steps need to be in place. Like, okay, we can't just authenticate a user once. We have to think about what is going to happen after that. Are we going to allow someone to do whatever they want once they've authenticated? What was the strength of that authentication? Does it really justify the risk that that user potentially could do something super malicious? And in these examples that I've mentioned, these we're talking about individuals. The costs can effectively be measured by the damage on a credit card bill or a debit card bill. And realistically, that was in most cases refunded by either the retailer or the user's bank. But in the corporate space, it isn't that simple. We can't measure damage through a compromise on, you know, something as simple as a bank statement at the end of the month. So going that step further, well, what happens after a user is authenticated? It is a real question that I have, and I'm sure you have in your security leader discussions, Richard, is what actually happens? We think we know this is Ollie, but what actually happens once he's authenticated? Are we sure it's him? What does he do with that access, and how can we prove it at the end of whatever he said he should have been doing?
I think it's a bit like cogs in a machine, that they've all got to be turning over nicely for these hygiene factors. They all need to be turning properly and working together like cogs in a machine. Otherwise, something's going to stop. But yes. It's easier said than done, I think.
Well, that's it. And, you know, just to jump in there, as security leaders, we have a view of how things should be done. We build policy to enforce that view, audit it against that view to see how we're actually doing. But on the other side of it, we're dealing often with humans, right? And we know that humans are difficult to put in nice little boxes. And if you do, they have an annoying tendency to jump out of them and cause you problems. So you made a point there around that blurring of line between what happens in the workspace and what happens in the corporate space. And of course, with things like remote working, the flexibility that involves post-pandemic, the world is a different place. We're seeing that blurring of when users are working and when they're not, and when they're using their corporate device for work and when they're not. And recently we've done some research here at CyberArk, which said that 97% of users admit that they use their corporate device for personal means. And that could be buying something online, checking your email. I'm a skeptic of statistics. 97% tells me that maybe this is 100% and 3% of people weren't sure who was going to read the answer. But whether it's 97 or 100, we know that a threat actor will make use of that, because it's effectively a rule that if someone's blurring that line between what is corporate, a corporate password, a corporate device, and what's their own work, maybe they recycle that corporate password and use it on a retail account that they use, maybe they're using their corporate browser to do personal activities, that really gets in the way of that risk reduction strategy. And we have to educate users, of course, but we also have to make sure the controls are in place to try and reduce that risk as well.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask, and I think you've certainly given me the first major point of it. I was going to say, what factors have contributed to the rise of credential stuffing attacks in recent years? So it sounds like remote working is certainly one of those factors.
Yeah, definitely a big part of it is remote working, for the reasons I mentioned before. But if only it was that simple, right? If only it was remote working that was driving this rise.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other trends that we see here and that we've really had a lot of customers ask us about. One, of course, is there's a move into the cloud. Now, I give a story and maybe my colleagues start rolling their eyes at this point because they've heard it from me before. But when I started at CyberArk back in 2015, the resources that users were accessing were in a data center. They were behind a firewall, and largely we could use that perimeter as a nice big boundary of how do people come in and who they are. And we put our security controls in that perimeter, and once they're in, they're trusted and they can do what they want. But of course, that's changed massively pre-pandemic, but certainly significantly afterwards with the use of cloud. And that's not just SaaS, but also infrastructure and platform as a service as well. Because as soon as those assets started to move outside of the firewall, outside of the data center, that perimeter became a less effective control gradually. And then all of a sudden, to paraphrase that line, it really happened slowly. But now we're seeing this scenario where it's like, well, what do we actually have control of? And that's a bit of a truism. I think most of our customers are well aware of that risk. But the question comes back, well, what's the role of a credential? What's the role of an identity? Well, of course, in that scenario, the identity becomes your firewall. If you've got a SaaS application, which effectively is a website, it's much the same as a user who's trying to access a retail site or their email account. You authenticate them using a credential, and that's it often. It's very difficult for most enterprises to say what actually happened in that web session after that user authenticated. So thinking back to our 3As, our 4As, our 5As, I've heard them all. What happens with our authentication? What happens to actually give someone access inside that session, and how do we prove it at the end of it? And add your A's after that. There's all sorts of ways we can think about identity in this context, but identity is that firewall in this day and age because our customer environment has changed, and the examples in the consumer sector are just one element that the modern CISO, the modern cyber leader, is just trying to deal with.
And that brings us to the end of part one of a three-part series on credential stuffing with Ollie Stimpson from CyberArk. As I always say, I hope you have a great week, and we'll speak soon. Bye.